My book, NSFW, Not Safe for Work, A Good Manager's Guide to Better Feeling Work in a Toxic Culture, is out in the world right now. You can actually buy the book, the ebook, or the paperback on Barnes & Noble or Amazon right now. I'll drop the links in the show notes too. Go get it and be sure to tell me what you think. I hope it helps and I hope you love it. If you've been on TikTok or Insta lately, you've probably seen the posts reenacting some of the worst offenses of toxic bosses. Managers who insist that employees sleep with their phones on their chests to be available for some urgent 2 a.m. phone call. HR firing people for taking sick days to care for their kids. Clueless boomer bosses regaling the amazing days of everyone working together in the office on casual Fridays. And on LinkedIn, it's just wave after wave of heartbreaking posts from people who have been fired in the mass layoffs sweeping the country this year. From Alphabet to UPS, thousands of Americans have lost their jobs in the past few months. And let's not even get started on the disruption AI is starting to cause. You're not alone in wondering if things have gone off the rails. I'd say, yeah, they absolutely have. Things really do seem worse lately. So what the heck is actually happening here? That's not just a rhetorical question. In today's episode, we're going to look at some of the reasons work sucks more than ever for so many people. And then we're also going to talk about some ways managers can positively impact their teams, even if they can't change the corporations they work for. Because our podcast, the focus is on the power that managers have to make a difference for their team members. Welcome to Manager on a Mission, the podcast for managers who want to rework the workplace and leave a lasting legacy by putting people first. I'm your host, Tosca Faso, former Fortune 100 executive turned podcaster, author, speaker, consultant, and optimist. I'm so glad you're here with me. Hey everyone, it's Tosca. Real quick, I created a free checklist for managers who want to lead differently. It's called the Good Manager's Game Plan. It's a strategic list of action items you can do this week, this month, this quarter, and even this year. No matter how crazy work is right now or how wrong it feels, this is the list you need. Just go to toscafaso.com and download that free guide. So the theme that I'm seeing that underpins all of these happenings in the corporate world today is a lack of consideration for employees as people. With things like stack ranking and yearly layoffs and robotically piling on the work while team sizes get pared down, and then there's the whole return to office strong-arming. I want to start off with just a teeny little history lesson. I don't love history, really. Never was good at remembering the dates and places and names of mostly white dudes, so we'll keep the history part short. But if you follow me on social media, you'll see that I posted about the awesome book, The Man Who Broke Capitalism, by David Gelis. And the man that Gelis is referring to in his book, of course, is Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE. Neutron Jack, and yes, they really did call him that, is legendary for five things happening today that he basically introduced to corporate America. So you can thank Uncle Jack for stack ranking, leading through fear, offshoring and outsourcing corporations to death, the ruthless, merciless cost cutting, and the astronomical CEO pay that is also tied to the whole company stock price thing. Okay, so here is where I tell you I am old enough to remember corporate work before Jack. I know, I might as well tell you that I walked home from school uphill both ways in the snow, but I didn't because I grew up in California and it didn't snow in my hometown. But I do remember, instead of sending everything overseas, corporations made things right here in America with skilled workers who were able to live middle-class lives, buy homes, raise kids. They had company pensions, full benefits. And there was no mandatory ranking of some of your team members as a one or a two at the end of the year, just to make it easier for HR to know who to fire in their next mass layoff. In fact, I actually worked in HR, and we were nice and helpful, and we were advocates for employees too. That was a long time ago. Work wasn't perfect then, of course, especially for women and minorities, and the whole office suit thing and pantyhose. It all seems pretty wild now. So no, I'm not saying we should return to the before times. But I am saying we have lost something in corporate America. The idea that employees contributed to the success of a company and they were protected and rewarded for it. They were considered assets, not liabilities. One of my friends who works for a large tech company said it's not that 2023 was the year that corporations stopped caring about employees. It's the year they stopped pretending that they did. Oh, does that hit hard or what? I mean, the truth in that kind of gave me chills when she said it. And I think anyone in corporate America can relate to that sentiment right now. Work just feels increasingly hostile to employees. We're being asked to take on the work of our team members who have been fired and not get raises or promotions for the extra work. We're expected to be available at all times on all of our devices. We're strategizing on how to manage up to people who really should know better and should be guiding us instead of the other way around. We're working across multiple countries and time zones because of mergers and acquisitions. And on top of it all, we are frantically reprioritizing almost every day because senior management never seems to agree on strategy. Whew, so that's a lot. And if you're a manager and this rings true to you, I'm sorry. I really am. You have the responsibility of keeping your team members motivated and growing in their careers while giving lip service to these dehumanizing policies with a team who hopefully trusts you and is looking for perspective and guidance. But stick with me here because the rest of this episode is about how you can make a difference every day to everyone on your team. Yes, even in this corporate climate. So let's get into that right now. You're a manager. Your team is overworked. Maybe you even lost some team members. Things are pretty stressful overall. And you have to somehow be there for your team members, motivate them, guide them, and also deliver on the work. How do you do that? First, deep breath. Now, we're not going to go heavy on self-care in this episode, but you are an employee too. You are stressed and overworked also. So let's acknowledge things are hard for managers too. And you maybe don't have a boss who's sensitive to people's emotional well-being. So you need to lead your team on top of dealing with your own likely stressful work situation. So be kind to yourself. Now I'm going to share my 3-step plan for massive motivation in hard times. This isn't a total overhaul. We're not talking about making over your team. We're not talking about starting over. We don't have time for that in these conditions. This is more of an intervention, a way to start being more boldly human and bring, yes, I'm going to drop a buzzword here, psychological safety to your team members when they so desperately need it. So yes, it is kind of a Band-Aid, and we will talk about bigger overhauls and resets in another episode. What we're talking about today is to stop the bleeding, get your team healed up a bit, but that doesn't mean it's not powerful. So let's get right to it. Step one, calling out the emperor. Okay, if you don't know the parable, The Emperor's New Clothes, I'll give you what I like to call the drunk history version. Hans Christian Andersen wrote a fairy tale in 1837 about a vain emperor who hires some weavers to make him a suit. Now, these guys tell him they're going to make this amazing suit, but it will only be visible to people who are worthy. And they are total charlatans. They don't make anything at all. The emperor is afraid to admit throughout this process he can't see these clothes, right? Because they said only these worthy people can see it. So he eventually agrees to a procession in front of the whole kingdom to see his amazing new threads. And he ends up walking the streets completely naked until a child yells out, "The emperor is naked. The emperor has no clothes." So when I say to call out the emperor, what I'm asking you to do is acknowledge the situation in front of your team. Really, truly acknowledge it. Pretending the emperor isn't naked, pretending things aren't bad, is in effect gaslighting or crazy making. It denies your team members' reality. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to start bad mouthing or trash talking, but directness and honesty about the situation is so refreshing and validating to team members. It might sound something like this. I know the last few months have been really challenging here. We've seen some of our coworkers get laid off. It feels like we have more work than ever and compensation isn't keeping up. I don't love the return to office policy either, and some days it really gets to me. I know we have to do it, but believe me, I feel your pain. I want you to know you're absolutely not alone. I'm happy to answer any questions or hear any ideas for how we can relieve some of the pressure. I want you all to know how much I appreciate the work you're continuing to do under such difficult circumstances, and I'm going to do my best to try to manage that workflow and give you some relief. I'm so impressed with what you've done already this year. And if you want to talk further, you know I have an open door. Please send me a chat and we'll set up a few minutes. A talk like this costs you nothing and literally takes less than a minute. You can still enforce policies you don't like and take the edge off for your team by being honest about that. Your team members will be grateful and feel validated when they see your humanity showing through. Now, step number two is defensive offense. And while the words we just talked about are really important and are absolutely the foundation of motivating a team through a tough time, the best bosses follow up a speech like that with some action. Depending on how your team is structured and how work gets assigned, you're going to want to do a bit of a crackdown on what's coming in or what's already in people's hands. Take an hour or so with either your resource manager, your operations person, your department leads, or if your team is small, you know, maybe there's just three of you, then all of you together, and mercilessly look at that work. See what you can push out. What can you reduce in scope? What can you combine? Or what can you put on hold indefinitely? Most managers have the power to at least decide that something like a team newsletter or some weekly meeting where you share projects could be postponed for a month while you get back on track. Tell your team you know that workload is untenable and these meetings or these newsletters are not essential items and we're going to hold off on them for a little bit. Many managers have the power, whether they know it or not, to negotiate with partners and stakeholders to adjust timelines and scope. Most likely, they can also tell those same people that for the time being, all new requests need to be centralized and go through you or your leadership team or, you know, your resource person. So you're at least relieving your team members of having to negotiate new requests daily. Another benefit of centralizing requests like that is you're able to see possible redundant things too. Now, even if it's not sustainable long-term, the idea here is to take action for your team and show them you're going to the mat for them to give them some breathing room. And finally, step three is to add some low-key fun back in. Now, when you're this busy, I don't think it's great to call a mandatory party. Those things have flavor of the office show, and they can backfire, and they are the opposite of giving your team some time back. So I don't just mean a single gesture of a grand party, but a series of small, fun things to take the edge off over the course of a month or two. If you're in office together, things like bringing in breakfast on Monday, or if you're in different locations, give everyone gift cards to their favorite delivery service or a nearby coffee place. You can also cancel a late afternoon meeting or two and bring in drinks and snacks into the break room that they can grab on their own time, go back to their desk, or go to a small room with one of their besties from the team and not have to party with you, but still have kind of a party atmosphere. Now, if your team's completely remote, you could also send drinks, snacks, or dinner gift cards. And something that doesn't cost any money is being extra gentle in team updates, asking how people are doing, sharing stories, getting better at sending emojis, honestly, or memes in your messages, showing that human side, kindness, humor really does add up. And it can help people feel appreciated when times are hard. So let's recap on these three steps to massive motivation in hard times. Step one, call out the emperor. Acknowledge how hard things are. Validate, offer to listen, and thank them for everything they're doing. Step two, defensive offense. This is where you put your money where your mouth is and do whatever you can do to help your team get a break, give them time to think, and just generally do whatever you can to relieve some of the pressure. And step three, low-key fun. Sorry, they probably don't want to carve out time to party with you right now, but that doesn't mean they won't appreciate small gestures of thanks and opportunities to connect together on their own time. Humor and humanity can go a long way and take the edge off when times are hard. Thank you for listening to Manager on a Mission. I'm your host, Tosca Faso. Make sure you follow me on LinkedIn for more content like this. I'm also on TikTok and Insta at It's Tosca Faso. Or you can always just go to my site, toscafaso.com, and you'll find all the links right there. If you like this episode, make sure you follow the podcast and give me a rating. It really does make a difference. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode of Manager on a Mission. Manager on a Mission is produced and managed by Quail Run Studios. Original music written and recorded by Christopher Grant Ward. As for me, I provide coaching, speaking, and consulting services for clients and companies around the world. You can learn more about me and my mission at toscafaso.com.